You're listening to The Andrew Merle Show. That makes me Andrew Merle, your host. I'll be with you every week, kind of giving you a rundown of things going on in my world, whether it's political, whether it's personal, financial, kind of run the gamut of all the different things that are affecting me and my life. I think what I put on the bio was, if you think about the end of Rome often, then this is the podcast for you. And that's fairly accurate, because I'm going to talk about a lot of problems that we have in society, a lot of which are government-based, and also want to offer some solutions so maybe we can make some changes and turn the tide before it becomes too late. And one of those is big government. So if you haven't noticed, and I assume you have, our government is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's whether you're talking about nationally, but even locally. Most of us live in cities, and I live in the parish of East Baton Rouge Parish in Louisiana. Most of us are surrounded by big government. In fact, we had a mayor in our area not that long ago tell us we should be thankful to the government for the successes of our business. Now, how ridiculous is that? But that's how they feel. That's how big government wants you to feel. They want you to feel indebted to them. They don't want to make your lives better. They don't want to make your lives stronger. They don't want you to be successful. They want you to be entrapped. They want you to owe them something. They want you to feel indebted to them. I think the old saying goes, when you're not giving freely, it's no longer called charity. And that's kind of where we are now. You know, we look around, and if you look at your property tax bill and you look at sales taxes and you look at income taxes and you start asking questions about where did my money go? It's really hard to figure that out. And you know what usually happens and you usually find out? That a lot of that money didn't go to you. So let's look at big government. Now tell me, in the history of our world, when has been big government created a better economy? When has the government, having more control over our life, having more influence, holding all the strings, when has big government led to a better economy, a better society, and a better living standard for you? The answer? Zero. Zero. And you can argue that ending the Great Depression with all those social welfare programs was a benefit where big government did help us. But you could also argue ramping up for World War II had as much effect on the economy and jobs and creating a better economy than did those social programs, which were all meant to be temporary, which are all still here. So big government is here, and they want to do everything for you. They want everything to run through them. In fact, in Baton Rouge, we have a parish budget. And primarily the parish is City of Baton Rouge and then smaller suburb cities surrounding it. And so in East Baton Rouge Parish, we've got a budget of over $1.1 billion. Billion with a B. Billion dollars. And you look at that budget and you find out really quickly that two-thirds of it goes to old debt. Now, I talked about this in the St. George podcast. This is not a surprise. Then you find out that employee-wise, we've got as many employees as Detroit did pre-bankruptcy. So let's talk about that. These cities that get in trouble, and if you look in Louisiana, there's about a dozen cities that will likely be taken over. Control will be taken away from the local level by the state because they're so poorly managed. And there's a lot of reasons why, but here's one. They never change. They never try to do anything different. They just want to maintain the status quo of tax and spend. As a conservative, I'm not going to talk about social issues. My entire conservative philosophy is based on you being a good steward government, you as government being a good steward of my tax dollars, and taking less of it. I feel like if I'm given control of my tax dollars, if more of my hard-earned money is left with me, I will do a better job of making myself happy with it than you will. So number one, big government, $1.1 billion budget, two-thirds of which is old debt, pension liability, bond debt for projects long since passed. So only a third of that $1.1 billion actually goes towards our current day services. And so the big monster, which is big government, always has to eat. That monster is always hungry. And it's got to be fed continuously. Why? Because all those city employees are civil service protected in Baton Rouge, which means they got a pension system set up. is going to pay them long after they retire. They're going to keep drawing and drawing and drawing. And so in order to feed this monster in the future, you've got to feed it now. And in the future, you got to feed it more to keep up with the number of employees. As more employees retire, you've got to keep paying that pension on top of paying the current employees, on top of paying their health care costs, which goes up, on top of paying their retirement, which goes up, on top of paying for all the things that go into an employee, from maintenance to overhead, the desk, the computer. Some employees get cell phones, some get vehicles. You've got all the maintenance that goes into having a human being on staff. And what do you get for that? You're not getting as much as you would if a private company provided that service. Why? Because the city employee simply is not motivated. As one government employee once told me, "Hey man, I get paid the same either way." And that's the mentality, right? They're not bidding for contracts. They're not scrapping and fighting for work. They're entitled to it. Therefore, they're going to keep feeding the machine, and they want to keep helping the monster out because they are part of the monster now. And so we've got these employees that are continuously getting paid. And then the services we provide, we don't care if the service isn't effective. We don't care that the service isn't necessary. We don't care that there's a better way. We just want to have as many people employed by the monster as possible because they'll continue to vote in favor of the monster. Take in point a city bus system. In Baton Rouge, we have a city bus system. It's called CATS, really fun, cute acronym. And CATS really stands for No One Rides the Bus in East Baton Rouge Parish. In fact, they've gotten so bad that they cover up all the windows now with advertising so you can't see in the bus to see the people who are not riding the bus. They keep unprofitable routes because they need to keep all these people employed because it's big money, it's big tax dollars. They got to keep the machine and the monster fed. And of course, all these employees were like, "I got to save my job." So they're into feeding the monster too because it benefits them in the long run. Forget the fact there could be a better solution. And we'll talk about this in future episodes because I like to come up with solutions to these problems. I think it's unfair for me just to bitch about things I'm mad about, things that bother me, and not think about a way to make it better. For example, the bus system. It doesn't work here. It never has worked here. It's inefficient. It has a ton of overhead. All these buses have to be maintained. You got to have places to store the buses, mechanics to work on the buses. You got to have bus stations. You got to clean up the bus benches. The bus benches are abysmal. The little bus shelters are almost non-existent. You got bus drivers and their pensions, and you got administrators, because all these government agencies, you'll notice, are top down. Big salaries at the top, lots of corruption and mismanagement that flow down to the rank and file. They're just trying to do their job, the rank and file. They have no idea about how much money is at the top of this food chain that they're never going to see. So this bus system is never going to change. It's like communism. Why improve it? It doesn't matter to us either way. We keep getting paid and we're happy where we are. Keep feeding the monster. But we live in a society now where we have different ways to do things. I mean, for hell, a monorail would be cheaper than the current bus system we have in place. It would be way more efficient. It would take a vehicle out of traffic, a bus. A bus does two things in traffic, neither of which are good. One, it takes forever to get to its destination. It will always be late and off time because it's subject to the traffic that it's stuck in. And two, it creates traffic backups because it's continuously stopping a lane of traffic. So that in itself makes the bus system inefficient. But if we live in a day in society where we could create something else. For example, the monorail. You could have a monorail in Baton Rouge. You could have the monorail in Baton Rouge go from downtown to LSU, our major university, and then past LSU to another area we call Gardere. So now you've got some incentive for students to live in these two other areas because they can shuttle back and forth to campus. A monorail system that would avoid traffic, so it would be fairly always on time. I'm not going to say we're going to be like the Japanese where their rail system is within seconds of being on time every time. But it's going to be pretty close to on time because it avoids traffic. It's not in the road like the rest of the cars. So now it's going to help revitalize downtown. It's going to help get traffic through LSU more efficiently. And it's going to help that other area, Gardere, become more of a hop in place because now all of a sudden you've got a nice, easy transportation route for students to campus. Will we consider such an idea? Hell no, we will not. Why? It won't help the monster. It won't feed the monster. So you look at this pension liability issue, and here's what happens with the monster. As these employees go on and they enter retirement age, and we hire new employees, we've got to continue hiring new employees to replace those old employees, not because we need them to do something, not because their job is necessary necessarily. We hire them because we have to have them contribute into the retirement system to pay the guy's pension that just retired. Because just because you paid in the system today does not mean a city holds your money for you until you retire. No, it's continuously flowing out. You know, government employees' pay and pensions is more equivalent to a Ponzi scheme or multi-level marketing pyramid scheme. You've heard all of it. You know, it's more like old Amway. You know, it's more like Bernie Madoff. You pay into it. If you're lucky and you get your retire quick enough, you get the return. Eventually, the system will crash. How do I know? Let's talk about these other cities. For example, Detroit. Why did it go bankrupt? Well, as government became so bloated, the monster got too full, continuously having to raise taxes to continue feeding the monster. People in the city limits said, I can't handle this anymore. Why would I pay these taxes for substandard services that are paying pensions from 20 years ago that I'm not getting the benefit of when I can move? I'm going to move out here to this shiny suburb where I got a nice, shiny new house. We've got new schools. Everything's the way I want it. I get to be there from the ground floor. Maybe in the beginning it's a little cheaper until we realize how wonderful it is out there and we all want to move out there. How about I move? And so what happens in Detroit is they all moved and they moved to the suburbs. Now, the same thing is happening where I live. And if you live in a place like mine, typically a blue controlled area, you're going to see a lot of this. You're going to see conservatives racing for the suburbs because we're overtaxed. Baton Rouge has the benefit of one of the highest sales taxes in the nation, combined with property tax, combined with income tax. We getting you every way possible in Baton Rouge. So you find out that you can live cheaper. For example, I'll keep going back to Baton Rouge where I live. I could go to Livingston Parish or Ascension Parish right now, buy a house that's about the same cost as the one I'm in now. I could put my two kids that are school-aged, I could put them in public school for free. Right now I'm saving over $13,000 a year that I spend on private school tuition. That goes back in my pocket. And guess what I do with that money? Spend it, baby. Spend it. I'm not here to put all my money in a savings account. I'd buy stuff with it. New car. Maybe a better cool vacation every year or two. You could buy anything you wanted. You could go shopping more often. Buy better clothes. You could eat out more often. And guess what? All this extra savings does is generate a better economy. I'm spending that money. And the folks here that moved out to Livingston and Ascension, they start living out there. They start putting their businesses out there. They start spending all their money out there. And what happens, you have exponential growth in every possible factor, from education to the economy. Housing prices, property values go up. Sales tax goes up. Businesses go up. And now all of a sudden, what was moving out to the sticks is now a thriving area of new growth. And that's because they're able to start things from the beginning. So back to Detroit, and which is a parallel for me for Baton Rouge. It's a parallel for a lot of places that continue to do the same thing. What's insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So Detroit, these people start moving out to the burbs. And what does Detroit do? Do they pivot? Do they shrink? Do they do some smart, deceleration of government growth, scale back a little bit, maybe not hire every position that comes open, combine some job duties, privatize some things? No, they wouldn't be Detroit if they did that. They wouldn't be the story I'm telling. No, they continued to do the same thing over and over again. They continued hiring to feed the monster. They continued raising taxes to feed the monster. And eventually, they ran out of food because all the taxpayers left. Because typically what happens, and this is a middle class issue, when there's no longer a middle class, there's only an upper class and a lower class in your economy, you are going to fail. It happens every single time. The middle class is the foundation of every economy. And when you run them away and run them off, your economy fails and someone else benefits from it. And it's the same thing. So the monster needs food. The middle class moved to the burbs. The higher class, eventually, the upper class gets tired of paying the increase in taxes because you have to increase taxes to pay to keep doing the same things when you have less people. I mean, it's common sense. And eventually, the upper class gets tired of that too. I'm out. And all you're left with in your economy, and this is what happened to Detroit, and this is what's happening to Baton Rouge, is the lower class. They've never cared about the tax increases. It never affected them. They don't care. They don't. In Baton Rouge, most don't pay property taxes. If your house is valued at $75,000 or less, you've got a homestead exemption. You don't pay a dime in property tax. So all these tax increases don't mean a thing to the lower class. So they keep voting for them and voting for them and voting for them because they want to keep doing the same thing. They're getting free stuff. They like the free stuff. They're going to keep voting for that. And in the meantime, like Detroit, eventually you have really high taxes with no taxpayers. And you kept doing the same thing with employees and pensions and overhead and mismanagement. And guess what? You're broke. You're bankrupt. And in Baton Rouge, we're doing the same thing. We're heading that direction. There's a notion that we could be bankrupt in a decade, but in no later than 20 years, our economy, if it continues to do the same thing, will be bankrupt because we're beginning the population decline. We're following the cycle. And I'm not Nostradamus. I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not a rocket scientist. It's just basic common sense, right? If we're tired of high taxes and we don't feel like we're getting the value for what we're paying, we'll go look somewhere else. This is no different than shopping for anything, right? Why is Amazon so popular? Because it's so cheap. And so when you don't have value anymore, you go find it somewhere else. And that's what's happening to big government. Big government is a black hole. It's always gotta eat. And it doesn't bend. And it's constructed based on the fact you can't change it. Because if you change it, they'll lose their power. They'll lose their control. If we change this bus system to something better for the people that might cost less, then you'd have less people to vote in favor of keeping the monster fed. I actually proposed once maybe we do some sort of ride or Uber program. You know, that lady walking to the bus stop in the rain's probably not as thrilled about the bus service that's going to drop her off at another bus stop as she would be if we gave everyone under the certain poverty level, under a certain income limit, if we gave them free Uber and ride gift cards where they could take a couple of rides a day, would probably be cheaper for the government, better for the citizen. A ride from your doorstep to your workplace and back is probably better than walking in the rain to the bus stop. We'd have zero overhead because now we don't have to maintain those buses. We don't have to maintain the bus barn. We don't have the series of mechanics. No, no, no. Instead, private citizens benefit. Private citizens have entered the public workforce, and we don't pay them any overtime. We don't pay them their pension liability. Somebody else covers their insurance. Somebody else takes care of health care. None of that is our problem. So instead of future costs having to be paid, having to continuously feed the monster to pay the cost that's coming on top of the cost we've already incurred, instead in the system where you privatize that service, somebody else does it. The employer does. In fact, who cares who does it? Because it's not the municipality. And big government can't stand it. And they can't stand it because they lose their power when we start talking about different solutions and different ideas. And when we come up with something new, they have to find ways to tell us how wrong we are. I mean, the bus system itself, like I said, the ridership, I promise you right now, if we converted the ridership of those empty buses into Uber and Lyft cards with some discretion on income, we would actually save money. And we'd save money two ways. And that's what I'm saying. You can't think about the cost of just today for privatizing the service. There will be some instances where privatizing a service will cost more in the short term. I'm sure of it. Sometimes a service will have to cost more to privatize it. But the difference is in the long run. Looking down the road 10, 20, 30 years, are you still paying for that service that was rendered in 2024? And when you privatize it, the answer is clearly no. Somebody else bears that cost. And in the long run, if you do it, then instead of $1 billion budget, you'll either have $1 billion budget where we're getting $1 billion worth of current services, or you'll have a $700 million or less budget where we're paying for the services we're getting now and giving that money back to the taxpayer. What if we injected? So take that $1.1 billion, subtract the two-thirds that is currently being used for bond debt and for pension liability. In fact, Baton Rouge is called one of the most over-leveraged and bond indebtedness cities in America. So give that two-thirds every year back to the taxpayers. You've just injected into the local economy $600 million. What could our economy be if we had access to $600 million? The government wouldn't be getting fed. You would be getting fed. Your families are getting fed. Your neighbors are getting fed. And that's why I like privatization so much. It puts things back into our control, not government. It's our hard work, our ingenuity, our opportunity, all the things America was founded for. It puts that back into our control. So now all of a sudden, you dictate your future. You're not dependent on government. No, instead, it's you. It's all about you. And that's how it should be. And that's why if you look, the economies that do more for the individual, that put more money back in your pocket, are always more successful. That's why the suburbs grow so fast and the big blue cities die so painfully slow. And they always need to be fed. In fact, if you go back, another St. George reference, if you go back and you look at our inspiration, one of our inspirations for St. George is a city called Sandy Springs, Georgia. Sandy Springs is in Fulton County. Atlanta is in Fulton County, of course. Atlanta is the big blue monster there. It sucks all the money from everywhere. Atlanta feeds it. The suburbs feed it. And you know, after a while, the people in the Sandy Springs area got tired of feeding the monster. And they took their money back. And what have they done since then? They've got millions in reserve, budget surplus money that they can use for projects so they don't have to bond their projects. They just pay for it up front outright and it's done. That's spending your tax dollars wisely instead of incurring bond debt. You know who likes bond debt a lot? Bond lawyers. Bond lawyers make a ton of money. If you look at these bonds and look how much money is generated for other people to make money off of, bond lawyers. And so Sandy Springs had millions in surplus. Another city that's really close to me is called Central. Little Central started, I think it may have had 10,000 people in it originally. Their first year budget was $2.5 million. They privatized their services. Their budget is now about $8.5 million. They've got, I believe, $80 million in reserves. So when a large drainage grant came along a few years ago and Baton Rouge was begging for money, please give us money so we can put the matching funds up for this federal grant and get all this drainage money. The city of Central, again, 10, 15,000 people, I think maybe 18,000 people today, Baton Rouge, hundreds of thousands of people begging for dollars. The city of Central said, I'll stroke a check for my portion. Here's $4 million. Didn't ask, didn't beg, didn't need it, because they were managed properly. They didn't have long-term debt they had to worry about. They don't have a ton of employees where they have pension liability everywhere. The city is run by a city manager. It's privatized. They privatized their services, and guess what? They're getting a better result. So even in a case where one of the services might cost a little more, they're not paying for it for 30 years. They're just paying for it today. You know, you go back to privatization. What happens if your city employees laying around sleeping on the job? Well, I've seen it, and I can tell you, nothing. Nothing happens. They have a whole process they have to go through. I once had a guy tell me he had an employee who literally was drunk at work most days. They found her passed out in her car one day. And the question was asked, like, why don't you just fire her? I mean, Jesus Christ, she's literally drunk in her car at lunch. They drove her home several times because that was much easier than having to wait for her to get sober. Why don't you fire her? She's civil service protected. it's a lot easier on me if I just let her get to retirement in a couple of years and she'll retire and go away. And that's how big government works. That's much easier than making the hard choice and doing the right thing. So you go back to the civil service employees. If you privatize these services, a lot of these services, what happens if you catch Private Joe sleeping on the job, not mowing the median? You look in the contract you have with Joe and you say, Joe, you didn't live up and perform to expectations and you get fired. We're going to terminate your contract, rebid it to someone else who's more willing to do the job. You have that ability. It's just like the real world. You know, if you don't perform at your job, what happens, right? Somebody's going to come in and let you go. Hell, in the real world, you might even be doing a good job and you might get let go. But there's accountability. And currently, there's no accountability for the big monster. It just eats and eats and eats. And if we want to make a change before it's too late, and early in this episode, I talked about in Louisiana, there's about 10 to a dozen cities that are on the verge of being taken over by the state in the next few years. And what that means is they have never made changes, yet their populations declined for a variety of reasons. Sometimes industry moved on. Sometimes they didn't grow. Sometimes they just kept doing the same thing over and over again. Insanity. And so these cities are taken over and they lose control of their autonomy. They lose their self-determination because they're broke. They can't pay their bills. And I mean the water bill. They can't pay their police department. They can't pay to have basic drainage work and basic road work done. They're broken. So somebody has to step in from the state, take that city over and try to right the ship. But in almost all these cases, it's too late. You can't fix it. You can cancel all these contracts, but the tax base is gone. They moved on somewhere else. The industry has moved on. They're gone somewhere else. And so this area just dies. Everybody's been to a city like that where you drove through and you see all the closed down storefronts. You see the fast food places have even gone out of business. The only thing left is the dollar store. You've all driven through these places. And they're becoming more and more the rule and not the exception. It just takes a little bit of do something different. Make the hard choice. This is the other reason why you need a city manager. A politician never wants to do something that they feel makes them look bad. You think the mayor wants to have something on TV saying, mayor lays off 1,000 employees today. The mayor has decided not to repair the streets this year because we can't afford it. No, no, no. They won't do that. They're always going to talk about how they're going to raise taxes and it's necessary to do this. And then you look and go, man, how much more in taxes can I pay? I look at my property tax bill. How much more do I need to pay? I got this sales tax where if I could go 45 minutes to an hour away, I can save 1 or 2% on my sales tax. That could equal thousands of dollars if I make a big purchase. You know, how much longer before I go, man, the school's free over here. The crime is less over here. The land is bigger over here. I can start from the beginning over here. And the problem is it doesn't take a long time to see it. And so you have this massive migration. You can call it whatever you want. And for those who want to call it white flight, I think when you say it's white flight that causes the death of these blue cities, I think it's racist and I think it's ignorant. You know why? Because you're telling me that minorities don't want the same opportunities we do. And I can tell you, and I promise you, that's not the case. You can look at the communities, and as soon as minorities realize there's better opportunities, they do the same exact things white people do. Move to them. Because guess what? We all have something in common. We want better education for our children, safer communities, better communities. And we probably want to keep more of our money. So we got to break the cycle of the monster, kill the monster to create a better, smaller, more flexible government with privatized services. And you know who provides those privatized services? You do. That's the other beauty of a privatized government. You provide those services, not government employees. You benefit. It's your lawn care company mowing that grass. It's your mechanic that's fixing a car. It's your drainage company that's providing the drainage work and the dirt work and the earth work. It's your construction company building the project and repairing those roads. All these are services. I mean, in Baton Rouge, hell, we've gotten to the point with a $1 billion budget where I can truthfully say our best litter abatement program in Baton Rouge is a volunteer group called Keep Tiger Town Beautiful. It's led by a lady named Jennifer Richardson, who is out, I promise you, every day picking up litter in different areas of our community. She has been the best, and I'll tell you, just about the sole force in making litter better in our community. And because of her, she's motivated a large group to go volunteer. So with a $1 billion budget, our litter control is provided by free volunteers. How great is that? So it's time to kill the monster. If you have thoughts, you have comments, you want to talk about it, you can message me on Facebook. You can email me, andrew@andrewmerle.com. It is The Andrew Merle Show, and I am Andrew Merle.